The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 25, Text number 36, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 24th, 2013, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tair darshani yavaya yair udara vilasaha sekshitavam suktai. Tadmano hrita padangsha bhaktair anitschato megatamam anvim prayungte. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, the Savior of us all. There are three divisions of devotees: first class, second class, and third class. Even the third-class devotees are liberated souls. It is explained in this verse that although they do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, the devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Simply by discharging uncontaminated devotional service, as prescribed in the scriptures, one becomes equal to Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. This means that the living entity in his original state is Brahman, because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman. But simply because of his forgetfulness of his real nature as an eternal servant of the Lord, he is overwhelmed and captured by Maya. His forgetfulness of his real constitutional position is Maya. Otherwise, he is eternally Brahman. When one is trained to become conscious of his position, he understands that he is the servitor of the Lord. Brahman refers to a state of self-realization. Even the third-class devotee who has not advanced the knowledge of the Absolute Truth, but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, and brings forth flowers and fruits to offer to the deity, becomes imperceptibly liberated. Shadayan Vita. With great devotion, the devotees offer worshipful respects and paraphernalia to the deity. The deities of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi and Narayan, and Ram and Sita are very attractive to devotees, so much so that when they see the statue decorated in the temple of the Lord, they become fully absorbed in the thought of the Lord. That is the state of liberation. In other words, it is confirmed herewith that even a third-class devotee is in the transcendental position above those who are trying for liberation by speculation or by any other means. Even great impersonalists like Shukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras were attracted by the beauty of the deities in the temple, by the decorations, and by the aroma of Tulsi offered to the Lord. They became devotees. Even though they were in a liberated state, instead of remaining impersonalists, they were attracted by the beauty of the Lord and became His devotees. Here the word vilasa is very important. Vilasa refers to the activities or pastimes of the Lord. It is a prescribed duty in the temple worship that not only should one visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some similar literature which is regularly recited in the temple. It is a system in Vrindavan that in every temple there is recitation of the Shastras. Even third-class devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, their minds may remain always absorbed in the thought of the Lord, His form, His activities, and His transcendental nature. This state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated stage. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended 5 important processes in the discharge of devotional service. 1, to chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 2, to associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. 3, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. 4, to see the decorated temple and the deity. And, if possible, 5, to live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These 5 items alone can help a devotee achieve the highest perfectional stage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and here also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that third-class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation is accepted in all Vedic literatures.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavam Shcha Sri Rupam Sangrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Vidijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutade Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschacha Tisha Tarini.
Usually we think, well, you got to be, you know, first class devotee to be liberated. Because there's condition and there's liberated, you see. But here we find that even the third class devotees are imperceptibly liberated. Even without any great knowledge, they just absorb themselves in thoughts of Krishna and become liberated souls. So, now we have come to the magical wonderland on Sri Vrindavan Dham. This very place where you're sitting, where this temple is located, this whole area of Vrindavan is called Ramanreti. Ramanreti means pleasure sands, because it is here that Krishna and his cowherd boys engaged in so many transcendental pastimes. So we are actually sitting right now in a place where Krishna and Balaram, right here, this very spot, they had their transcendental pastimes. So if you can imagine the spiritual potency of this place, it's inconceivably potent. So if we take advantage of this atmosphere to go, to enhance our Krishna consciousness, to dive deeper, 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 deeper into Krishna bhakti mood, you see, then it becomes very, very sweet. Vrindavan Dham is the epitome of sweetness, because this is, of all the places of Krishna's pastime, this is the quintessence, this is the highest, sweetest essence of Krishna's pastimes, is Vrindavan Leela. The other Leelas are also very good. We're not only interested in Vrindavan Leela. Just like when you have a meal, you have the rice, the dal, the chapatis, then you have the gulab jamun at the end. So we, Vrindavan is the gulab jamun. So it's not that we are against Bhagavad Gita, we don't want to hear Bhagavad Gita. The sahajas, you see, they only want to hear about Krishna and the gopis. They don't want to hear Krishna and Arjuna. They consider that not very good. But that's like someone who just wants to eat gulab jamuns without having rice, dal and chapatis, you see. They'll get sick. So you have to have a balanced meal. We hear about rice, dal and chapatis, that's Bhagavad Gita, you see. But these Vrindavan pastimes, not the sweet rice, halava, sandesh, rasagula, you see, this is the Vrindavan leela. It's well balanced. Prabhupada has given us very well balanced feast, the ISKCON love feast, you see. We're always having a love feast constantly, 24 hours a day, love feast of Krishna Smaranam, you see. Meditating on Bhagavad Gita, meditating on Krishna and Radha, it's all very nicely packaged by Prabhupada. So that we can actually come out of the sleep of ignorance, the sleep of madness, you see. We're hankering for sense gratification. Can you imagine how insane it is to hanker for sense gratification? Do you understand how absolutely asinine it is to hanker after material sense gratification beyond what is necessary to keep the body healthy? It's absolutely insane. Just like I many times give the example, you want to get some nourishment, so you stick your shirt sleeve in the soup. Try to get some nourishment so the shirt can absorb some. The soup gets absorbed in the syrup. Now I've been nourished, you see. Does that nourish you? No. You're just getting your shirt dirty, that's it. If you want the actual nourishment, you have to put it in the mouth. It goes to the belly. So, in the same way, if you want actual nourishment, instead of gratifying your senses, you have to gratify the self within, you see. Instead of giving the senses what they are demanding, and they will demand far more than they need. They're just like fire. It's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Dushparena nalena cha. They burn like fire and they're never satisfied. So you may try to follow that pathway, the path of Indriya Seva, gratifying your material senses. And they will just demand more and more and more and more and more gratification. They'll never be satisfied. No matter how much you give them, you'll never become happy because it's not you. You can soak your entire shirt in the soup, but still you will go hungry because the shirt and you are two. Similarly, the material senses and us are two. They are different. We are not these material senses. Simply, we've been given a body to engage in the service of the Lord. So we have to keep the body in good shape. That's it. You've been given this body to engage in the service of Krishna. So now you keep the body healthy. And that is proper utilization. This is confirmed in the Isha Upanishad, mantra number one. Isha Vasham Idam Sarvam Yat Kincham Jagajam Jagat Tena Chakchena Bunjita Mahagrida Kashasvidhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which is set aside as his quota, and one must not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So in this way, we have to understand that if we take more than our quota, which is what, you know, keeping healthy, keeping fit. If we take more sense gratification than our quota, then we are violating the laws of God, violating the laws of nature. And then what happens? You have to be punished. You may violate the state law and get away with it. You may not get caught. Or you may get caught. But if you violate the laws of God, there's no escape. There's so many witnesses. the sun, the moon, the demigods, Krishna himself, everyone is witnessing. So instead of trying to be a sneaky outlaw who gets away with nonsense, which you can never do with karmic laws, you absolutely cannot do that. Therefore one should say, okay, let me just be an honest citizen of Krishna's kingdom. Let me be a law-abiding citizen of Krishna's kingdom. Let me follow the injunctions of the scripture. Bow down to Krishna. Tam his devotee. Manmana mava madmakto majaji mang namaskuru. Mamme vashishi yukvayavang atmanang matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Think of me, worship me. In this way, you become fully absorbed in me and surely you will come to me. So we had followed these things. By following them, we'll achieve the supreme gem. We will receive, we will gain access to the direct association of Krishna. Just as he directly associated with the Brijbasis 5,000 years ago here in this holy place, he will associate with us also. We become his pure devotees. It's not that we're some outsiders. Actually, we are insiders, but we foolishly thought maybe there's something better than being an insider. Maybe being an outsider is better. Maybe I can enjoy more outside of Krishna's kingdom. So that was our foolish mistake. You see, we became outlaws. So now it's time to get back to our original position. In this process that Prabhupada has given us, it will bring us back, you see. You take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, you accept his instructions as your life and soul, by this surrender to the wonderful guidance of Srila Prabhupada, one will in fact become a self-realized soul, completely transcendental to all the different interactions of the modes of material nature here in this world. So maybe there's some questions. Debbie, would you like to add some points?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said about that sanctification. It was really profound. I got a little extra realization on that little sanctification is like dipping the shirt and into the sabji or soup or whatever. The shirt gets dirty and the body doesn't get any nourishment. So I was thinking that's true. The shirt gets dirty, but in this life we can wash that shirt and get it cleansed. But when we engage in sense gratification, you know what happens? We cannot even wash it for many lifetimes from the maybe 8,400,000 lifetimes. Mm. It becomes so dirty, and so we foolishly so much engage in that sense gratification, little sense gratification we go for. But why not we enjoy our senses together with Krishna so that we can become cleansed right now and not to clean here again.
Anybody have any questions?
Another question now. You talked about liberation.
Yes.
Right in the beginning, that even on...
Prabhupada mentioned that, yeah.
Yes.
Imperceptible liberation, even for the third-class devotees.
Yeah, third-class devotee. But does it mean that third-class devotee remains third-class and he can get liberation? And what kind of liberation?
Prabhupada says they're higher than the impersonalists, so it's not definitely not impersonal liberation.
Yeah.
And obviously, they don't remain third class. If they become liberated, they'll progress.
So, in other words, that liberation is that one starts giving up their sense gratification. That liberation is from sense gratification. They don't know
that. If they're still engaged in sense gratification, then their liberation is there, but it's not fully perceptible yet. It's like
in a seed-like state. It's coming. In other words, a third-class devotee may be still doing nonsense also. It's like these people come to the temple here, they may be smoking cigarettes, but they come and they're really, you know, attracted to the deity, they bring some gifts.
But beyond that,
so, they're... each person has a different case. But the point is, anybody who's attracted to see Krishna and bring gifts to Krishna, they... Baba says they're imperceptibly liberated. So,
yeah, imperceptibly.
It's not that it's fully it may not be fully manifested yet, obviously. When it's fully manifested, there'll be first-class devotees.
Yes.
But it's partially manifested, and it's just like a flower that's blooming. It's just starting to, the bud is coming out. You don't see the petals yet, but it's in the process of coming out.
Yes.
In the spring. So the flower is there, the flower of liberation is there, but it's not fully blossomed yet.
But does that mean that one can, at the time of, in ISKCON also, we have many devotees who are chanting, they're initiated and everything, they're still on neophyte level. So,
Devotees what?
Devotees are still engaged in sinful activities many times.
Well, if someone slips back into sinful activities, they're not going to be liberated as long as they're engaged in sinful activities. It's obvious.
Yeah, so that is my point. So what kind of liberation? The liberation can be freed from interaction with sense gratification. There is one liberation. And then there is another
It's liberation. It's partially manifested, but not fully manifested yet. As long as you're engaged in sinful activities, it's being checked from being fully manifested. They partially manifested it. They're attracted to kirtan, they're attracted to darshan, different things.
So there is liberation.
It's partially manifested.
But what my point is this, that the liberation...
They are partially liberated.
But they are not out of cycle. They are in the wood, but they are not out of the wood. Let us put it that way.
They're over the hill, but not out of the woods.
Yeah.
They become attracted to Krishna. So even there's some statement that anybody who chants Hare Krishna out of the mass of people isn't considered not to be an ordinary soul. Even who says it once even, they're not considered an ordinary person. So, yeah, that's a good way of expressing it. They're over the hill, but not out of the woods.
Yeah.
They're liberated, but... it hasn't fully manifested yet. It's still covered. It's begun. It's like
1%, 2%, but they're going back home is the full liberation.
Another example is Prabhupada said there's three kinds of pure devotees. Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari, and Uttama. They're all pure devotees. But there's a degree of purity. It's like rich, there's different varieties of rich men. You see? Some rich men, they have one lack of rupees. Oh, he's a rich man, he has a lack of rupees. Another category is, here's a rich man, he has a crore of rupees. And here's a rich man, he has a million crores of rupees. They're all rich men. Is one lakh considered a rich man nowadays in India? No. 1 lakh is nothing, right? It's like chicken feed. 1 lakh of rupees is not big. If someone has a crore, they're getting up there. All right. So a crore means he's rich. 100 crores, he's very rich. And 1,000 crores, he's very, very rich. So they're all rich men, but there's different degrees of richness. So in this way, even the Kanishta Adhikaris are considered pure devotees or liberated souls. And the Majjhims are... considered liberated souls, they're considered pure devotees. And the Uttamas, just like different degrees of rich men. So, any other questions? Our questioner is now gone. None of you have any questions today. Yes, Damodar?
Shri Gurudev, how we can
Hare Krishna has shut that door.
And transform place where we are living, like in Latvia or some other country, in Vrindavan. How we can convert place where we are living in Vrindavan?
How you can convert the place you are living to
Vrindavan.
Vrindavan. It's very simple. You by worshipping Krishna, wherever you worship Krishna, wherever you chant Hare Krishna, wherever you offer food to Krishna, that place becomes Vrindavan. You just engage in sadhana bhakti wherever you are. Just like when I go to our temple in Riga, I feel like I'm in Vrindavan. You see? Beautiful Gaurataya deities, nice, beautiful temple room, very nice kirtans, nice lectures, nice gatherings of devotees to hear and chant. It's as good as Vrindavan. Just by engaging in this process, Prabhupada created, just like I remember years ago, I was a brahmachari. I was going to go with another brahmachari and travel South India to the holy places. But then he backed out at the last minute, so I was all alone. It's not as relishable. It's nice to have devotees you can share your feelings with. So I was wandering alone in South India. In those days, they didn't have Bisleri bottle. They didn't have any bottled water, and you couldn't drink the tap water. So, you know, how long are you going to get by just drinking, to drink limkas, so it's a soda, Indian soda. To just drink limkas, it's not very healthy. So what to do? Where you can get some water to drink that's even safe, you know? So it was, but I was in Chennai or Madras, and there was the U.S. Embassy. So I went to the U.S. Embassy, and there was an American flag. There was a president, a big picture of President Reagan smiling, and they had clean drinking water. And I really felt like, oh, I can drink the water here. It's okay. I felt like I was... And legally, the U.S. embassy is part of that country. Legally, it's part of the United States. Just like there's some outlaw-type character. He's considered to be an outlaw by the U.S. government. And by the British government as well. But he took shelter of some South American embassy in London, and they can't arrest him because it's not considered part of the Great Britain. He took shelter of their embassy, and they're giving him shelter in there. So the U.S., the Britishers can't touch him. As soon as he walks out the door, they'll arrest him, but they can't go in and take him there because it's considered part of that country. The embassy is considered part of that country. You have no jurisdiction over what goes on inside the embassy. So in the same way, the ISKCON centers are actually manifestations of Goloka Vrindavan here in this material world. Wherever there's an ISKCON center, that place is not actually in Riga or in Tallinn or wherever it may be. That place, or in Sydney or Melbourne, wherever it may be, New York City, that place is actually Goloka Vrindavan. So as soon as you walk into the temple, immediately, now I'm back in Vrindavan. You see? And if you take this chanting very seriously, you take shelter of bona fide spiritual master, you chant 16 rounds every day, you strictly follow the regulated principles, you sincerely try to get free of these namaparads, you'll be living in Vrindavan wherever you are, at every minute. Even when you're not in the temple, you see. By strictly, you have a temple in your heart also. So if you enter into the temple of your own heart, it's called Mama Mana Mandir. It's a song.
Mama Mana Mandir.
Yeah, Mama Mana Mandira. Mama Mana Mandire. It's a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a very nice bhajan, about the temple of the mind. This devotee is going into the temple of his own mind and he's had worshipping Krishna elaborate. It's a very nice bhajan. You should learn that bhajan. How he's going into the temple of his own mind, he's he's worshipping Krishna within his own heart. It's a very, very nice bhajan.
I know.
So in this way, if you can be always living in Vrindavan, because Krishna is there. Vrindavan is in your heart, Damodar. Sri Vrindavan Dham is right there in your heart. You just have to enter into Krishna, the mood of Krishna Bhakti, and then you're living in Vrindavan wherever you may be. Okay? Anything else?
You say something about that bhajan you said.
Say something about what?
The bhajan that you said about bhakti.
Yes, Vinod, okay.
It's very beautiful. It has very beautiful meaning also. But when we start singing, we go more towards the music and
you
to
do?
The music and
you
wording.
Do?
Yeah, most of us. We forget the real meaning, what is the purpose of that.
Okay, so that's a comment. Any other questions or comments?
Srila Guru.
Yeah.
What is the real meaning of taking shelter of the holy name? One lecture you mentioned that simply completing the 16 rounds is not taking shelter of the holy name. You should always chant more Hare Krishna.
Taking shelter of the holy name means that you feel how Krishna is present. The person Krishna is actually manifest when you chant his name. Krishna, who is the shelter of all living entities, has personally come. So if you actually understand that you're that person who is giving you everything you need spiritually and materially, he has now come to you to bless you with his association. If you have this kind of understanding, then you're doing a very good job of taking shelter of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, there's nothing but the name to be had in all the 14 worlds. This name is everything. This is the shelter of the living entity. There's no other shelter. From one who takes shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, you see, the lotus feet of the Lord are fully manifest in the form of the name. You could even see that Krishna is one foot and Rama is the other one. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare, and then Hare Rama. You could see those are the two feet of the Lord. You can visualize it in that way. How the Lord has come with his two feet, and I can take shelter of him now and understand that he... If I fully give myself to him, then he will take care of everything for me. I have nothing to worry. Just like when a child is taking shelter of his parents, they give him everything he needs. He doesn't have to go somewhere else for anything. Shut that door all the way. So any other questions? Does that answer your question? Okay. Anything else?
What should be the proper mood while visiting Vrindavan?
Proper mood of being in Vrindavan is to understand that you're in a very sacred place. Just like when our pujaris go on the altar. You understand, here I am on the altar. When you get second initiation, the actual standard is only second initiates on the altar. And that's the actual standard. So when you go on the altar, it's like, I'm here on the altar now. Krishna is present. I have to be very clean. I have to be very sober. I have to be very, very careful everything I do because I'm on the altar now. So being in Vrindavan is being like being on the altar. You're here with Krishna. Krishna is personally present right here. He's right here. He's present, fully manifest in Vrindavan. So we have to be very, very conscious of everything we do, everything we say, everything we think, that it's pleasing to Krishna. Every particle of Vrindavan dust is more valuable than the vast treasure of Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods. One little particle of Vrindavan dust is more valuable than the rarest diamond. Every little piece of the dust here. That's how sacred this place is. Anything else?
Can I add something?
Absolutely.
But one should
Please
not
do.
Be naive.
Huh?
One should not be naive, okay, going around in the Vrindavan like they, this morning they
what
announced.
Is it?
This morning they announced
yeah.
that one should get the information from the information center and not wander around themselves. Because somebody went, some Madhijis especially, went out on rickshaw and the rickshawala charged them 1,000 rupees just from here to
Rob
Lohi Bazaar.
Or charged them 1,000 rupees?
Yeah, just from here to Lohi Bazaar.
To where?
To Lohi Bazaar.
Wow, that's a pretty good profit they made on that one. 1,000 rupees to Lohi Bazaar. Normally it's 30 rupees, right?
Yeah. 30 or 40 layup at most.
Yeah, papas in 20. 15 rupees is standard rate for the foreigner is.
Huh?
15 rupees is the standard rate, and for the foreigner is 20 rupees each person.
Yeah,
20. So, yeah.
Yeah, be careful. The people, the maybe Brijabasis, but they could just because they chant Radhe, Radhe, Radhe doesn't mean they're not going to think of rob you, rob you, rob you. To be, you know. A little conscious of the fact. Be a little bit street smart and look out for the monkeys.
Yeah, you don't hurt anybody's feeling or anything, but you have to be smart.
Just be aware that, yeah.
We are in Vrindavan. Then, of also, they say something. In Vrindavan, Krishna was thief, so we are thieves. Learning from Krishna.
Anything else? We got 10 minutes left.
So they all become Krishna.
The monkeys are the most aggressive thieves of all of them.
The monkeys are animals, human are not. We are human, are supposed to be human.
They're actually following the tradition of when Krishna was stealing the butter and feeding them stolen butter.
So that's what
the they're still in that tradition here, the monkeys. They stole my socks yesterday.
That has to be taken care of. It must be somewhere up. Yes. I do not know how they have put up the line anyway.
Can I add something, Maharaj, on that point?
Vrindavan. Yeah?
How to visit Vrindavan?
How to?
Mind, so I want to add something.
You wanted
he
to add something?
To add yeah. something
I
about
like
okay,
to
go
add
ahead.
Something about Vrindavan.
Yeah?
That on which mood we should visit Vrindavan temple? In which mood we should?
Oh, what mood should we see? This temple? Yeah. This temple, Krishna Balaram temple, is very, very special temple. Prabhupada actually said that all the holy places of Vrindavan are contained within the four walls of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So, it's not really even necessary to go wandering here and there. I have to go see this place, I have to go to that place, you know, some big passionate thing. I got to go to 108 tirthas all over Vrindavan, you know, every just going here, going there, hiring a rickshaw, hiring a tanga, hiring a taxi. Just I have to go to this place, I got to go to see that place, and I got to go here, and I got to go. But I never had time to sit down and hear in the temple any of the classes. I was so busy passionately running to all the different places. So I could go to this temple and that one and this one and this one and this one. And this one is hundreds and thousands of places here. The real thing is to be in the mood of hearing. Yashatma buddhi kunape tritaduke svadhi kalatradishu bom ijadi yatirta bule salile nakarachit janesha vagesha sa eva gokaraha. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that one who considers this bodily bag composed of three elements, namely mucus, bile, and air, to be his very self, or considers the place where he was born and grew up to be a holy place of pilgrimage because he was born and grew up there, or considers his family members to be his only relatives, that he doesn't see that we're all one family, you see, that my relatives are these people, you know, from my family, you know, that's my relatives. These other people are not my relatives. And that person who goes to a holy place of pilgrimage, just to take bath or just to take darshan and does not hear from the saintly persons who are there teaching the science of bhakti, they are considered to be a cow or an ass. So the most important thing is to, even more important than the darshan, is the hearing. And this is also further proven by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur organized big Gaur-mandal, Braj-mandal parikramas all over Braj-mandal. It's a huge area, not just this little area around the town. It's a big area, like 64 square mile area, where Krishna had his intimate pastimes in Vrindavan. So they were going to all these different places all over Vrindavan, all over Braj, the greater Vrindavan, Braj Mandam. And every night there would be the pravachan, some lecture, some class given by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, or you could go over some darshan in a nearby temple. So mostly the people would go for the darshan, because Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he speaks in very, very erudite English. The materialistic demeanor could not possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat in this way. He would speak in very big, what we call highfalutin English, very high-level English. And these are mostly, you know, ignorant Bengali boys who hardly speak any English anyway. So they would all go for darshan. Only a few sannyasis would sit and hear Guru Maharaj speak, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad named Abhay Chadan Day, or Arshila Prabhupada, became Arshila Prabhupada. He would. He said, I would understand or I would not understand, but I go on hearing. So he was in Vrindavan, and there were so many places you can go see, but he would just sit and hear from his spiritual master. Sometimes I see devotees come. They come to Vrindavan. Even my own disciples have sometimes come to Vrindavan. And they say, oh, I'm going to go here. They just come by for a five-minute visit, and they're off. They're in Vrindavan for 2 weeks, the same time I'm here. They come for a five-minute visit. Oh, Guru Maharaj, my basis is in, and they're off running. And they're not hearing from their spiritual master or from any of the devotees here at the temple. They're just running here, running there, running. So that the real mood, the real way to really enter Vrindavan mood is not to run here in a passionate way for this darshan, that darshan, this darshan. The real way is focused hearing. When the Goswamis were here, they had they would talk for hours and hours and hours of Krishna Katha. They'd go on for hours and hours and hours, just going deep, 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 deep into this Krishna Katha. That's the actual way to experience Vrindavan. It's not that you have to run here, run there to see a million and one holy tirthas, and they are here. So see some tirthas, you know. But the most important thing is to hear. Because that's how you connect with Krishna, through your ears, not through your eyes. Now the eyes, if they're seeing, is also a means if it's taken in the mood of hearing. You see? If you take the hearing and then as a part of that hearing you also see in the same mood that you're hearing, then that seeing is also good, like taking darshan of the deities based on what you've heard, not based on mental speculation. If you see through the eyes of the scripture, it's called. So here in Vrindavan, you should see everything through the eyes of the scripture. And Prabhupada said, he did say how externally it's a dirty village. He also said the animals here, you know, the dogs, the monkeys, the hogs, they are Brijabasis who in their previous life committed sinful activities. So because of that sin, even though they're born in Braj, they're highly advanced spiritualists because they're born here in Vrindavan. But they committed so many offenses, they have to come back as a pig, a dog, a monkey, or some animal here to suffer like anything and burn off the reactions of those offenses. Then from that animal body, they'll go straight back to Godhead. So when you see these dogs here, the hogs, the monkeys, they're not ordinary creatures of this material world. They're actually, even though they steal your socks, or steal your, sometimes we see they take the glasses right off your face. None of, you should be careful. They may steal your glasses. And they'll take it and they'll go, ha ha ha, and they'll go, and they'll break it, just break it. You try to give them some monkey banana to bribe it back. They'll take the monkey and the banana and they'll still sometimes break your glasses and kind of just like have fun, you know, torturing you. So you got to watch out. Your bead bag they will take. If you have any Mahapashadam in your hand, that's the first thing they'll grab. I was coming out of the Radharaman temple. They gave me a little clay pot with some cooked down milks and a very nice... And this clay pot of, wow, I was walking out of the temple getting ready to honor, go honor it. And I was just walking along and all of a sudden, it was gone. It's like a pick. I didn't even feel it. And then I saw a monkey about 20 feet ahead of me running away. He was so expert. He took it out of my hand. I didn't even feel it. I didn't feel it. He's like an expert pickpocket. So be on the alert. These monkeys are expert pickpockets. They'll have sunglasses. They like the sunglasses too. So
especially
just
for the glass.
Huh?
Especially for the glass, devotees cannot feel also that monkey come and sit on the soldier.
It's just the thing that those monkeys are trained up to steal.
Mataji has this whole, it's like part of the mafia, you know. That they engage the monkeys in stealing and then they come and get the money. They get the money, they say, "I'll give me 50 rupees and I'll get the monkey to give you money." Yeah. Sometimes that may be. I don't know if that's confirmed or not.
I don't know if it's confirmed.
The monkeys are in cahoots with the Brijabasis who then charge you money to have the monkey give. I don't know if that's true or not, but Mataji's theory may be true.
It's not my theory, it's a fact.
It's confirmed by the local Brijabasis. The monkeys are in cahoots with some of the Brijabasis.
I will give back you the glass. You give me 50 rupees or 100 rupees.
Yes.
So this practice.
A Brijabasi will train a monkey to do that.
They do. Otherwise,
anyway, it's a thing. Mataji is convinced that they do.
Why would monkey listen? And then sometimes they ask them for 100, and the whole day that goes on.
She's convinced that some Brijabasis are training monkeys to work in cahoots with them.
And they will give it only to that person.
So anyway, I never heard Prabhupada say that. But
Vrindavan, actually, there are places, a few forests. In Vrindavan, there is some upavan also. Now upavan, there is no upavan. Only palaces is there, flats and buildings. So where they will go, monkeys. And they are hungry also.
Yes.
Because people take away their forest and build their flats,
and they are hungry.
So they don't have any other option because we are not gentle enough to give them voluntarily, okay, you take some piece of bread or something. Voluntarily we don't give. So they don't have any option.
The monkeys.
Monkeys, they don't have any other
option. Yeah, they're just trying to survive.
This is the option they didn't have here. If they wanted food, you can wear the dhoti and all that. There was no food.
Anyway, it's an interesting place, Vrindavan. The real thing is to not be caught up in all these external things. The real thing is not to be caught up. Just be aware that the monkeys steal things, whether they're in cahoots with local Brijabasis or not, is not a big issue. The real issue is that right now we're contaminated by material desires, and we have to get over it. We have to become fully absorbed in the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, etc. of Lord Krishna. That's the real issue. That's the real thing we have to focus on. Right now I'm contaminated, I'm lusty, I'm angry, I'm greedy, I'm a maddened, illusioned, envious person. And because of that I'm suffering in the cycle of birth and death. Now I have to hear from Srila Prabhupada, I have to read his books, I have to hear from those who are purely preaching on behalf of Prabhupada, I have to serve those who are purely serving Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, I'll become purified of my tendency to, my foolish tendency, to try to lord it over this material nature, to use it to my personal advantage for my sense gratification. And I can see everything as the property of the Lord and use everything in the property of, in the service of the Lord. This is called pure devotional service, and this mood is achievable. In this one lifetime, we can achieve pure bhakti. We can become, on the highest level of pure devotees, we can become, we can graduate from Kanishtha to Majjhama and then from Majjhama to Uttama ultimately. So we have to focus on regularly making spiritual progress every day, whether in Vrindavan, whether in London, wherever it may be. Every day I must try to advance myself in Krishna consciousness so that ultimately I will be able to meet Krishna face to face and be absorbed in serving him with pure loving devotion. So we'll stop here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Divine grace and my Sanatana Sadhguru Maharaj Ki Jai.